Those of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yet, the frank theological truth is many of us really can't conceive of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many of us have sort of this vague conception that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be caught up in some sort of ecstatic moment where we're gushing words that make no sense, as if we're not in our right minds. There are events, even contemporary events, that give that impression. I think a few years back, maybe 25 years ago, there was a huge impromptu revival in southern Illinois, and people went from Kentucky and Indiana and Ohio, all gathering in this rural area in Illinois, and a spiritual event happened, and people confessed their sins, and they found Christ, and they raised their voices in song. But many of them then, by the hundreds, experienced the gift of tongues. And so you had this sight of hundreds of people babbling unintelligibly, which again gave the impression, is that what it means to be in the Holy Spirit? To be not in your right mind? The text for the day would seem to suggest that. Paul comes upon a group of people in Ephesus, a very small group of Christians. But when he asked if they had been baptized, they said, oh yes, baptized into the baptism of John. And Paul says, wait a second. Were you baptized with the Holy Spirit? We've never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. Paul said, you don't understand. John's baptism was of repentance, but it was only to prepare your hearts and minds for the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah has come. You can be baptized into Christ Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. And they followed his counsel. And in so doing, were caught up in this ecstatic moment of babbling unintelligibly. Is that what it means to be in the Holy Spirit? Let me offer you a different view of this event by means of a different story. The year was 1945, the month August. The place, a little country Baptist church on the outskirts of Edgefield, South Carolina. Little Baptist church at the end of a long sandy lane. The 1940s in the Deep South, there was no air conditioning. The preacher was droning on, as preachers like to do. And there was a little boy. Little boy in the back row, and as little boys sometimes are more interested in what's going on outside of church than what's going on inside. And he was looking out the window and suddenly yelled, "It's Wilbur!" And everyone suddenly snapped to attention. For Wilbur was a young man who grew up in that area. Had been stationed in the Pacific for 3 years during World War II. Had finally been released from service and has made his way home, but had not been able to reach any one of his kin. But he knew that his family and everyone he grew up with would be in that church on that Sunday morning. And everyone suddenly is alive and awake, and they rush to the window. And as Wilbur comes in the door, this great celebration erupts, and there are prayers of gratitude to God and songs of celebration and an extraordinary electric joy. And if you had asked, they would have said for sure they were caught up in a celebration by the Spirit of God. For you see, the Holy Spirit is the expressive nature of God. The Holy Spirit's role is to communicate to us the will and the way and the purpose, the energy and direction of God. The Father authored our salvation, the Son secured it, but the Spirit communicates it. The Spirit is God's expressive self, letting us know the very intention and purpose and energy and direction of God's kingdom. The Spirit is the shepherd that God places within us. Think back. Think back to that moment in that little South Carolina church. Wilbur had been on their prayer list for 3 years, and suddenly he is there in their midst, and this impromptu celebration erupts. What a cold and lifeless church it would have been if this young man had come into this fellowship after 3 years away and there had been no acclamation. They were caught up in a spirit of pure joy. So too, this little church that Paul encounters in Ephesus, their first baptism was a conceptual baptism, a baptism of, yes, we have fallen short of God's glory. But Paul is saying to them, you don't understand. The Messiah that you were waiting for has already come. Communion with this Christ is already available. All you need do is accept him as your Lord and be baptized, and you'll be filled with his Spirit and commune with his presence. And so their celebration is a celebration of pure joy. There's a great modern Christmas story by the famed author Frederick Forsyth. I may even alter the offering of gifts this year so I might can share it with you. And the title of this great Christmas story is The Shepherd. It's about a young pilot whose plane encounters numerous problems on Christmas Eve as he's trying to make it back to England. As he encounters problem after problem, he hears the voice of a shepherd. His old flight instructor saying, now, son, if this particular issue happens, this is what you do. He came the next issue, now, son, if this particular issue happens, this is how you respond. And he hears the voice of the shepherd calling him from death to life. And yet in the end, his situation is so desperate, he requires a second shepherd. A plane that appears out of nowhere to guide him to safety, out of the darkness to light, from death to life. That's the role of the shepherd within us. The Spirit within is meant to be that whispering presence of God that counsels us moment by moment to say, in this problem, respond in this way, in this crisis, hang on, and I will move you from darkness to light, from death to life. Well, we often refer to the Holy Spirit in terms of ghost. But we really should refer to the Holy Spirit in terms of ethos, a set of values, virtues, and characteristics. When you talk about the spirit of Christmas, you don't talk about a ghost. You're talking about a whole host of experiences and characteristics and values and virtues that define that season. When you talk about the spirit of a corporation or the spirit of a church, you're not talking about ghost. You're talking about a set of values and virtues and characteristics that define that group. When you talk about the spirit of an age, you're not talking about a ghost. You're talking about the characteristics of that particular time and space. We are creatures designed by God to allow the Spirit to flow through us so that we might make spiritual music. We've been blessed this morning by brass, whose instruments are designed for breath to flow through them so that music might emanate. If you ran water through those instruments, no music would come forth. If you put sand in them, no music. They're designed for breath. So too, we're designed for the breath of God to flow through us so that spiritual music might come forth. We're meant to create a wonderful sound. Our Lord says to us, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what's its role in your life? Think of that whispering presence of God that challenges your prejudices and calms your fears and summons your courage and increases your faith. And is ever calling you forth toward newness of life. When I look up at our youth, great blessing of our youth up there, the balcony bums, I know that next year when I look up there, some of them won't be there. They'll be off at college, away from mom and dad, away from home, away from their church. And yet, no matter how far away they travel, the legacy of those influences will travel with them. The imprint of their wisdom, of their parents, and their community and their church will influence their decisions and inform their priorities. And perhaps even alter their behaviors. Even though they'll be far away, the legacy of influence will be real. That's the power of the Spirit. A legacy of influence that informs our lives moment by moment, day by day. When Genesis describes creation, Genesis talks of God breathing ruah, breath, into Adam so that he becomes a living soul. All of us have received the ruah, the breath of God, but that's not enough to be a true child of God. We have to claim the one who breathes that breath of life into us every day. For only then can the prayer of our lives be, my Lord is the good shepherd. And with this good shepherd, I shall have no want. He really does lead me beside still waters and into green pastures and restores my soul. Leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I encounter darkness and the power of death, I will not fear. For the good shepherd is with me. The good shepherd comforts me. The good shepherd provides for me, even in the presence of forces that would overwhelm me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the good shepherd
forever. When that is the prayer of our day, then the Holy Spirit is a reality in our lives. May we pray together.
Out of grace and goodness, you have gifted us with this whispering voice, this spiritual compass, this breath of life. May we allow it to flow through us, that our witness may speak to the darkness and pain of this world. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even